From Psalm 95, verses 2 and 3. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song, for the Lord is the great God, the King above all gods. Amen and amen. O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, November 22nd, 2022. And I opened up with that verse. In fact, I'll read maybe a few more, as this is Thanksgiving week. And there are so many verses that talk about giving thanks to the Lord and being thankful that I want you to be all prepared for this Thursday and maybe the rest of your life. So I'll share some more of those verses in just a moment. And I will point out at the end of today's broadcast, there's going to be a call-in, and you can choose whether you want the NIV Adventure Bible, number one Bible for kids, very colorful and fun, or a new book titled Divine Disruption, produced by the Evans family, Dr. Tony Evans, Crystal Evans Hurst, Priscilla Shriver, Anthony Evans, and Jonathan Evans. It's a great book. It's Divine Disruption, Holding On to Faith When Life Breaks Your Heart. So there'll be a call-in at the end of the program. Don't call now. Well, today, and for the next 2 days, you're going to hear Remembering Pilgrims. It's about an hour-long special, and you'll hear about 10.5 minutes today, 15 or so minutes tomorrow, and then on Thanksgiving, it'll conclude with about 20, 22 or so minutes. It's a fantastic Moody special. You're going to feel like you're a part of it, yet you're going to learn history and some of the background information of those first pilgrims coming over on the Mayflower, what it may have been like, the sights, the sounds, the tastes. And so hopefully today and the next 2 days, you'll be able to tune in to Mark and Friends, whether it's at the 7:32 a.m. broadcast, or if you miss that, 7:32 p.m., you can catch it. And if those times aren't good, you can stop by wluj.org or greatnewsradio.org and listen anytime on the Mark and Friends link. But today we'll launch Remembering Pilgrims, a Moody special that I think you'll really enjoy. Something else I hope you'll enjoy or consider doing during this time of Thanksgiving, this season of Thanksgiving, is give thanks to the Lord through supporting this radio ministry. Being 100% listener supported, we count on your gifts, especially during the November and December months, as about 70% of the yearly gifts come in these 2 months. So I hope if you have a vision for this radio ministry and how we reach so many thousands of people through our God-honoring broadcasts, you'll give. Or if you personally benefit and are growing on your faith journey because something you heard, a devotional thought, the God-honoring music, the teaching, and the many things that raise high the name of Jesus and honor God's word, then please consider supporting us today. Send your generous gift to Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. That's Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. Okay, so before we begin playing this Moody special, Remembering Pilgrims, did you know that Thanksgiving didn't start in North America? The practice of setting time aside to give thanks for blessings in life goes back thousands of years to the time of the Israelites. And unlike what we focus on today, the real reason for the holiday is not to celebrate all the food and material possessions we have. Thanksgiving is supposed to be a time to pause and give thanks for all we have in Christ, whether that is our salvation, our family, or simply the gift of God entering our life. And it is from this posture that we can turn to the Lord and ask Him to be with us in good times and the bad. Now, with this in mind, here are 10 great Bible verses that will inspire you to give thanks, And I opened up the program with Psalm 95, verses 2 and 3, but I'll restate that and then give you nine more. Psalm 95, verses 2 and 3. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song, for the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. 1 Chronicles 16:34. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And I'll be like a navigator. I'll cite the reference, then the verse, and then cite the reference. That was 1 Chronicles 16:34. Psalm 7, verse 17. I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. I will sing the praises of the name of the Lord Most High. Psalm 7, 17. Colossians 3, 15 through 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Colossians 3, 15 through 17. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Psalm 100, verse 4. Philippians 4, 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. That was Philippians 4, 6. 2 Corinthians 4, 15 and 16. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians 4, 15 through 16. Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise the Lord! Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. That was Psalm 106, verse 1. James 1, 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. James 1, 17. And the 10th one of these 10 verses about thanksgiving is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty pumped up for Thanksgiving, giving thanks to the Lord for all things, and getting closer as we enter into the Advent season, which is a great time to prepare our hearts for the celebratory time surrounding Christmas and what it means, Jesus Christ, the reason for the season. And as we head into this Thanksgiving weekend, we start introducing Christmas music, so I hope you can tune in and enjoy that. All right, shifting back towards Thanksgiving and this four-part Moody special, you'll hear part one today, part two tomorrow, and part three and four on Thanksgiving Day. This is Remembering Pilgrims with all the sound effects, narration, and then some commentary to help explain or define or educate us on what was maybe going on during the Pilgrims' landing, what could have been happening on the Mayflower, and what that experience was like. Here's Remembering Pilgrims.
So, thou art more religious than the king.
I make no such claim.
Oh, no, of course not. But thou hast no use for the Pope.
I am use for the scriptures.
I am no use for you. Separatist. Would a choice mine, I would send thee, all separatists, off on a ship, never to return.
They were the original boat people. Common folks, common faith, with an uncommon mission.
We come together for the purpose of parting. We kneel down with the prophet Ezra of old, that we might humble ourselves before our God and seek of him a right way for us and for our children.
I can bear no more. speak comfort, Pastor Robinson.
Comfort is all that world which is to come. At present, we endure. Now we part. Perhaps never to see each other again in this life. As the oceans are the works of his fingers, may he hold you in the palms of his hands.
Their names are the stuff of monuments and markers. William Brewster, Miles Standish, Edward Winslow. They were Englishmen in exile, intimidated, interrogated, imprisoned. This because of a faith at odds with the Church of England. Under increasing harassment, the Separatists, as they were branded, ran out of options. Hundreds migrated from Nottinghamshire, England, to Holland with great difficulty. There they lived for 12 years. Fearing an impending war with Spain, weary of cultural oppression, they sold their homes and possessions to board an unimpressive ship called the Mayflower. Tears mixed with tide as the Mayflower left harbor in 1620.
Find a special on the bowsprit.
It's done, Captain.
Pull a top sail and his
ready as order.
Shadowing the Mayflower was a smaller vessel, the Speedwell, carrying about 30 pilgrims. Not far at sea, the 30-ton vessel began to leak. Turning back, the ship was repaired and a second departure was attempted, but without success. Understandably frightened, some families decided the venture was too great and went ashore. Others were welcomed aboard the already crowded Mayflower, and the journey was on. In celebration of Thanksgiving, Moody Broadcasting presents Remembering Pilgrims.
One of the most interesting things about the Mayflower voyage is how little is known about it, for something which is so important to the history of the United States.
Carolyn Travers is research manager at Massachusetts Plymouth Plantation.
They probably were seasick a good part of it. There's, of course, the danger of going overboard.
Michelle Pecoraro, also of Plymouth Plantation.
When the weather was good, they could go up and get a breath of fresh air, but for the most part, they stayed below decks, so they were out of the way of the crew.
The crew has something to do. The passengers have nothing. You're just spending time waiting to get where you're going.
The important thing to remember is that there was a working crew of sailors and mariners and a couple of pilots on the ship.
Michael Hall is a historian with the Plymouth Plantation.
They didn't really have very much to do at all, and so probably spent a lot of time down in what's called the orlops of the ship, between the main deck and the hold, in their little partitioned areas with their family, probably fairly dark, damp, hot when they first set sail, maybe cold and sharp later on, wet.
Those who could read would read if they had enough light. The kids played games of the period. The Bible was certainly something that they would read to each other. There was a lot of reading out loud.
So much for filling their time. But with what did they fill their dinner plates?
Ship's biscuit, which is a very hardtack type of bread. Pease porridge, which is a mixture of dried peas and cornmeal.
The food that you eat on a ship, it's largely the food that you eat on a ship because it's dried or it's salted. So it's not necessarily the tastiest stuff, perhaps, but that which keeps best.
Our conversation with Michelle Pecoraro was actually taped on board the Mayflower II, a full-scale replica of what historians believe the Pilgrim ship to have resembled. The ship is open to the public and is anchored just a few hundred feet from Plymouth Rock.
This Mayflower II, the replica, the reproduction, was built based on what we knew of sailing vessels, merchant vessels at the time. So while we don't know what the actual Mayflower looked like, and in fact there were probably many ships named the Mayflower because there wasn't any regulation on what you called your ship, and Mayflower was a very popular name, we know that this is by scale and size pretty close to what would have been the Mayflower that the Pilgrims traveled across the water on.
The Mayflower, fast facts. According to marine archaeologists, the Mayflower was at least 12 years old when she sailed for New England. The ship had a long history in wine trade with France. Ironically, the sterilizing properties of alcohol, leaked over many voyages, helped keep bacteria and sickness at a minimum during the Pilgrim Crossing. The Mayflower was captained by Christopher Jones, who was also a quarter owner of the vessel. At 90 feet long, 26 feet wide, and a hold depth of 11 feet, The Mayflower weighed 180 tons. A fully loaded 747 jetliner is nearly 2.5 times as long and 2.5 times as heavy. But only the Mayflower had cannons. 12, to be precise. Standing in the darkness of the Mayflower 2's passenger deck, with its low ceiling and cramped quarters, other questions come to mind. How did they take a bath?
There wasn't a lot of that going on. Bathing, even when they weren't on board a ship, wasn't something that they did on a regular basis the way we think of it today.
102 passengers and a crew of 26, all living on a boat that would fit in many of our backyards. There had to have been complaints, such as...
Most likely just the fact that it was close quarters and, you know, the personalities just as they are today are all different. The other thing was the weather was not very good on the crossing for a good part of the time.
Although routes were known and there were many experienced crews and mariners that had been to the New World, to Virginia, to Newfoundland, to New England, fishing or otherwise, these ventures, both for the people who'd travel to these wild and wonderful new places, and as well their financial backers, was very, very risky. For the one, it could mean their lives, and for the other, it could mean their money.
This is by far the worst storm yet on this ocean.
The wind's so fierce. I'm surprised the Mayflower holds any force at all.
Now, there, Master Jones at the helm, we hold our course.
No! What a dog is there! Man on the board!
Man on the board!
That man overboard was John Howland, a hired servant of John Carver's. As the boat pitched violently, rolling Howland off the deck, he had the presence of mind to grab the topsail ropes dangling in the water. Holding on for life, he defied death. Just who were these people that traded their farms, their homes, their lives, for such an uncertain future?
The pilgrims, all of them, would have identified themselves as Christians.
They were English Christians who loved Jesus with all their hearts, plain, ordinary, simple English farmers.
Peter Marshall is the son of a former U.S. Senate chaplain and has co-written The Light and the Glory, an early history of the United States.
They were very well educated and brought more books than any other single commodity on board the Mayflower.
The particular band that we come to really identify with as the Pilgrims, Brownist or Separatist, they may have been considered outlandish or a little bit off the mean.
They were separatists, which was a fairly radical sect for that period.
Jim Baker is a published authority on early American history.
They were separatists, which unnerved other people. Even the Massachusetts Puritans looked askance at those guys down in Plymouth who were separatists. Because at a time when church and state are one, that you choose to physically separate yourself from the Church of England, you're also committing treason.
The one misunderstanding of the Pilgrim story that strikes me over and over is that people come to Plymouth thinking that they're going to see a story about a quaint, old-fashioned group of people. They don't realize just how radical and cutting-edge the Pilgrims were for their time.
Peggy Baker is curator for the Pilgrim Hall Museum in Plymouth.
They were on the cutting edge of a religious reformation that changed the face of European history. They were on the edge of a European movement of migration to America that changed this continent, that changed the course of world history. But they thought about risk-taking in a far different way than we did. When these people got on the Mayflower and came over here, they were jumping off the edge of the known world.
The Pilgrims clearly understood the risky nature of their venture. Their leading spokesman, William Bradford, recorded his first-hand observations in an epic he titled, Of Plymouth Plantation.
It was by many thought an adventure most desperate, a misery worse than death. But these things did not dismay them, though they did sometimes trouble them. For their desires were set on the ways of God, and to enjoy his ordinances. But they rested on his providence, and knew whom they had believed.
Remembering Pilgrims is a special presentation of the Moody Broadcasting Network.
Well, that was part one of Remembering Pilgrims. Pretty fascinating and kind of fun with all the sound effects, trying to help us understand or identify with what it would have been like, the narration, and various comments. And I hope you can join us tomorrow and Thanksgiving Day, as we'll have part two tomorrow and part three and four on Thanksgiving Day, heard during Mark and Friends at 7:32 a.m. with a 7:32 p.m. re-airing. That's Central Time, 8:32 a.m. and p.m. for our great Indiana listeners. And if you can't tune in to hear all the parts, you can always stop by WLUJ.org or GreatNewsRadio.org and listen on the Mark and Friends link. All right, as mentioned at the beginning of the program, we'll have two different winners during the morning edition and the evening edition. And you can choose whether you want the NIV Adventure Bible, number one Bible for kids, or Divine Disruption, Holding On to Faith When Life Breaks Your Heart by Dr. Tony Evans and family. And just let us know what you want to win. And so the third caller and the seventh caller, so that can give you a lot of chances. Be patient, because as Karen answers the phone, or Paul, or if you get an answering machine, we'll tally up what was the third call and what was the seventh call. But for the WLUJ family of station listener, dial 217-528-2300, 217-528-2300. Great News Radio listener, 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. And if you get an answering machine, just leave your phone number and name, and we'll figure out who the winners are. So that's for the NIV Adventure Bible, number one Bible for kids. You can choose that, or Divine Disruption, Holding On to Your Faith When Life Breaks Your Heart by Dr. Tony Evans and family members. Third caller and seventh caller wins. Call now and be sure to tune in tomorrow and Thanksgiving Day for Remembering Pilgrims right here on Great News Media, dedicated to educate, edify, and evangelize all who listen. Thanks for listening. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.